here. I thought you quit for hour 30. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Good to be in church. Good to be amongst the brethren. Good to hear preaching of the word. I'm thankful to be in church this morning. Thankful that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He forgives me on a daily basis as I fall short. We serve an amazing Savior, for sure. I think if we were all honest, we'd admit that each one of us falls short every day. Some days more than others. And I'm thankful that Jesus Christ always is there to thank us, or to hear us, and to forgive us. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that no matter how many times I mess up, He'll forgive me and He'll pick me up and help me to move forward. I'm thankful for our God. Before we get started, I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for loving us. Lord, if any of us would be honest, and I can speak for myself, I am not a lovable person. Lord, You love me so much and prove it to me every day. And You're probably the person I've failed most in my life. You still love me. You still love every one of us, Lord. So much that You sent Your Son to die. Lord, help us to remember that every day. And although we could never love You the way You love us, Lord, we can love those that are around us. Each one of us in this world, Lord, we're sinners and we're unlovely. And we have issues, we have problems, and we have things about us that aren't great, Lord, but we can love each other through it all, just the way Jesus Christ loved us through all of our sin. Lord, help us to love the brethren. Yes. This world is tough, Lord. Our flesh battles us. The devil hates us. The world hates us. But You've given us people in our lives to pray for, to pray with, to strengthen each other. Lord, help us to love each other.
Amen.
We can't love each other, Lord. We'll never love the lost and those that hate us.
True.
We'll never pray for those that hate us and scorn us and yell at us and call us fools for loving the only person that's ever loved us through everything, our Savior. People think we're nuts. We think we're foolish, Lord. How are we going to love that person if we can't love those that serve the very same Savior we serve, Lord?
Right.
Lord, there are people dying and going to hell every day. Every day, Lord. People right here, Catasauqua, right in our neighborhoods, Lord, going to hell because they never saw the love of Christ in one of us, because they never heard the gospel. Maybe they know it's true. I know that people, they were created with the ability to believe in God, Lord, but maybe they never saw someone actually serve You. We didn't show them something that was different from what they already had. Lord, we're seeing this world get crazy. And things around us crumble, Lord. And I believe that's because we're in a time that is coming to an end. Lord, I don't know the hour. I don't know when. could be today, could be 10 years, could be 100 years, Lord, but there is something going on right now. And in my heart of hearts, I believe that there's a real good chance I'm not dying of old age. I have a reason to believe that I could be raptured, Lord, because I think it's so close. Lord, but I have co-workers, I have neighbors, I have family members that don't know you. Lord, let me not live so selfishly that I would go to heaven with their blood on my hands. Help this church to have a burden for the lost. Because if we don't have that burden, Lord, no one's going to. Faith cometh by the hearing of your word, Lord, and they're never going to hear it if we're too selfish to never speak it to them. We have the truth in our hands. We have the experience of knowing what Christ has done for us. We know what it's like for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to convict us when we're doing wrong, to guide us in your light. And we're being selfish and not sharing it with anyone because we're too afraid of what they might think of us. Lord, please help us to do your will. Every member in this church has something that you have appointed for us to do. Help us to be a praying people and find out what that is. Help us to get together and pray for each other to accomplish what we need to, that we can go forward as one body, accomplishing your will that you have for us as individuals and as for us as a church. Lord, thank you so much for loving us. We're so unworthy of your love. Lord, help us in this service to praise you when we sing these songs, because you are worthy of the praise, God. When we hear the preaching, Lord, if it pricks our hearts and it steps on our toes, let us not be angry. Let us not be upset, Lord, but rather help us to get to your word and find out where we're wrong, that we can make it right with you. Lord, and if the preaching uplifts us and encourages us, Lord, help us not to just leave it here, but to take it with us throughout the week. Help us to remember we're not Christians only in church, but we're Christians at work. Amen. We're Christians at home. We're Christians in the grocery store. We're Christians at the ball game. We're Christians wherever we are. Lord, we are ambassadors for Christ. Help us to represent heaven the way we ought to. Lord, we ask that you meet with us in a special way in this service. Meet with each one of us individually, right where we are, Lord. Lord, we'll thank you for what you'll do in this service this morning. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you would, turn with me to page 639. If you're able, I ask that you please stand and sing Work Where the Night is Coming, page 639.
Thank you.
page 576. Page 576.
Amen.
You may be seated. Not often I sing a special, although one of my joys has always been lead music. But we just sung some wonderful songs, some wonderful hymns. And I was thinking this last song, Precious Redeemer. And I just want you to think about that for a second. How much Christ has done for us. And how little, if anything, we do for him. Suppose Christ from heaven, when we're praying, said, why should I do anything for you when you never do anything for me? But yet, in spite of our sinful selves, he loves us and he provides for us. But it made me realize also that, you know, it's not easy all the time standing for Jesus. But I drank a big cup of I don't care 30-some years ago when I got saved. So this song is sort of a challenge, but it's a declaration. It's my declaration for my love for Jesus Christ. And I hope it's your declaration too. And for those who are watching by way of live stream, I want to sing this little song for you. If you know the chorus, many of you probably saints know it. If you want to join in a chorus with me, please feel free to do it. I'm going to die on the battlefield. I'm going to die in the war. I'm going to die on the battlefield. With glory in my soul. One day while I was thinking of unseen things above, my Savior spoke unto me and filled my heart with love. Oh, I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in this war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I used to have some people who walk and talk with me. But since I've been converted, they've turned their back on me. Oh, I'm gonna die on the battlefield. I'm gonna die in the war. I'm gonna die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. I will take this gospel trumpet and I'll begin to blow. Oh Lord, if you will help me, I'll blow it wherever I go. Oh, I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. Some say give me silver. Some say give me gold. But I say give me Jesus who saved my dying soul. Oh, I'm gonna die on this
battlefield. I'm gonna die in this war. I'm gonna die on this battlefield with glory in my soul.
For my Lord, take your Bibles this morning. Take your Bibles this morning if you look at 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse 13. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 13. I'm looking at the temple of God and how it applied to the kings of Judah in the Old Testament and how it applies to us as believers in Jesus Christ. And we went over about the purpose of the tabernacle or the temple, the purpose of the temple, the pattern of it, the preparation of it, and then the performance of it. And finishing up the purpose of the temple. Why? What purpose is the temple? And we've looked at it's a place to glorify and worship God and praise His holy name. It's a place to pray. It's a place for His name. But it's also a place for the Lord to abide forever. You know, I'm thankful this morning that I'm saved for eternity, that I don't have to keep my salvation, that I don't have to work for my salvation, that once I'm saved, it's a place for the Lord to dwell forever. And the Bible says here in 1 Kings chapter 8, in verse number 13, if you're open there, the Bible says in 1 Kings 8:13, I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray you lead God and direct your God, give wisdom and guidance. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer this morning. Lord, that you would just lead and guide and direct your God, give what's needed. Lord, I pray you'd open eyes. Lord, as the Spirit says, and specifically sometimes in the book of Revelation, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, Lord, what the Spirit saith to the church. And Lord, I pray our spiritual ears will be open, Lord, our spiritual eyes will be open, Lord. Dear God, I pray if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, never truly been born again of God through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray you'd bring Holy Ghost conviction upon them, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd deal with them sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, dear God. Their need of a Savior because of their sin, the righteousness of you, dear God, that they need a Savior, and then also the judgment to come someday. Lord, I pray you just help us now, dear God, and lead, guide, and direct in everything that's said. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says here in 1 Kings 8:13 that one of the reasons that the temple was being built and that the tabernacle was built was that it was a place for God to meet with the children of Israel. But there's something special about the temple in the sense that it's that God desired for it a place for him to abide forever. Now, I'm going to take a little detour this morning and I'm going to go back a few kings back to the beginning in a sense and some things I believe the Lord put upon my heart this week to, I hope, be an encouragement to us to help our minds, to help our hearts, to be focused on what the Bible says and what the Lord requires of us now that we are saved and are trying to follow Him. If you take your Bible, flip over to Psalm chapter 75 and verse number 6. Psalm 75 and verse number 6. Psalm chapter 75 and verse 6. Psalm 75 and verse number 6. The Word of God says here, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, and setteth up another. Okay, so promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or from the south. God's the judge, and God puts down one, and God sets up another. You know, there's nothing that happens in this life and around this world that God is not privy to or doesn't know. Someone doesn't get in office, someone doesn't get into a position of authority without the Lord knowing and giving His permission for them to be there. All right? It is God who ordains all authority and positions on this earth. There are none in authority in the past, in the present, and even into the future who have not been placed there or allowed to possess the position but by God. That's how it ought to be. I believe in ordination. I believe in ordination. I believe God ordains leaders. Basically, God ordains and set them into the positions that they're at. I even believe in ordination within churches. I don't believe you just go out and wing it and just start something on your own. I think if you do that, you're in trouble. You ought to go out from the blessings of a local church. I believe in local church. I am 100,000% behind the local church. And I believe anybody that goes out either on the mission field or as a pastor or as an evangelist, they ought to be under the authority of a local church or be sent by a local church. For what purpose? That they can go out and be justified that they have a good report. That's important. It is important that you go out and you establish something and you have the backing of someone behind you saying, yes, they are of a good report. We've watched them. We've been behind them. We've seen what they've done. And we give our seal of approval for them to go on out because they've shown themselves faithful to the ministry of Jesus Christ. For you just to say, I'm just going to get up and go on a whim and I think I might go here or I think I might do that or... That's not what the Bible shows. Promotion doesn't come from the east, west, or south. It comes from the north, and that comes from God. And God puts one down, and God sets up another. Take your Bible, look at Jeremiah chapter 27. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 27. Jeremiah 27, and look at verse number 5. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 5. All right, before we read this now, I want you to understand something this morning. No one has ever taken a position of authority without the Lord's approval. Okay? There's no one that set themselves up against God without the God allowing them to set themselves up against Him. Okay? Nobody goes against God or the counsel of God. The Lord allows things. Okay? Look at Jeremiah 27, verse 5. This is the Lord speaking. Okay? I have made the earth, talking about God, the man and the beast that are upon the ground. By my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom, look what it says, it seemed meet unto me. God gives it to whom it's fitting or who he seems fitting to give it to. God does. Look at verse number 6. And now have I, who? God. Have I given all these lands into who? The hand of who? Nebuchadnezzar. Is he a godly man? No. He's not a godly man. He's a ruler of a pagan nation called Babylon. But who gave him the authority and the ability to establish and set up his kingdom? God did. For what purposes? For God's purposes. Who did God use Babylon? Who did He use to whip whose tail? Judah. God established the authority of Nebuchadnezzar and gave him the authority to be that king that he was. And the Bible says he was a king of kings. Nebuchadnezzar was quite the king. Who put him there? God. And why did he get cut down in a moment? Because he started lifting himself up thinking, look at this great kingdom that I built and what I've done. And the watchers, read through Daniel. Who are the watchers? Who are the holy ones? Those are the angels. And they took their plea back to God the Father and said, Lord, with all respect, this man needs to be cut down to the stump because he thinks he did it when we know you did it. And Lord, we ask that you humble this man down so he realizes that he's just a man. You see, if anybody ever gets in this pulpit, anybody ever preaches, number one, you ought to have a Bible in your lap. And you ought to be opening the pages to where he says to go so that you know he's not lying to you. You need to spend time in your Bible so you don't make sure somebody comes up here and doesn't hoodwink you into believing something that's not in Scripture. That's one thing I appreciate about my pastor back home. We went through so many Bible verses to make your head spin. You think you have the golden corral and you went through the line 10 times. You get some point, I'm telling you, back home, they'd be like, Pastor, no more. I can take no more in. My stomach is out of here right now. No, take one more little bite. You got to know your Bibles, brethren. And to make foolish statements that God never sets up a base man is a man that shows that he doesn't know his Bible. Brethren, it's easy just to make statements because of our own sentiment. But what does the Word of God say? God says here in verse number 6, and now I have given these lands into the hand of who? Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. What it says next? I love this verse. My servant. Glory to God. You know who Joe Biden is? God's servant. Yeah, because he's not going to do nothing God doesn't allow him to do. Nebuchadnezzar would put people to death. Brethren, I had to stop because it was making me too sick to my stomach and I don't want to know no more. But I did a little research and studying on Nero. He came to power when he was around 16 years old. Had his mama killed after that because she was a wicked woman as well. Incest. His second wife, who he cheated on with his first wife. He killed his first wife because she found out about the second wife, put her on a desert isle and then brought her back and then killed her. His second wife, whom he had gotten pregnant, she wasn't doing him right. And so he just starts to kicking her and he kicks her to death. He was a wicked man. He was a man that burned Christians at the stake. Wicked man. Some of those emperors and Caesars there in Rome were wicked. And what does Peter say and Paul say? Pray for all those that are in authority. Brethren, the church has a misconstrued notion, that's a messed up word I just said there, of what authority is. And God ordains authority. God set up Nebuchadnezzar, and the Lord says, God says, he's my servant. He'll only do what I want him to do. Now, I'm not Calvinist this morning. I don't believe that Nebuchadnezzar had no choice. Oh, no, 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 no. Nebuchadnezzar had a choice. And after Nebuchadnezzar got humbled down, he recognized who the true God was. And his son Belteshazzar is the one that got himself into a mess because he knew all that his daddy went through and he didn't learn from his daddy's mistakes. And God just cut him off. So I'm not Calvinist this morning. But God allows things to happen for his purposes. And who are we as mere peons of human beings to shake our fists and say to God, why do you do thus? It's none of our business. This is what I believe as a citizen of this country that I'm in right now. You do everything that you can do as a citizen. If you disagree with something, write your senator. I ain't got no problem with that. Write the person in the House. Write the president. You ain't got vote. Vote for those that you want in office. But if you're going to try to change this country, you better make sure it's in God's will as far as getting a political office. You better make sure you prayed about it, you fast about it, and that's the direction God wants you to go. And if God's giving you the direction to go that, then run with it because God's behind it. But that's, I believe, where it stops. I believe the Lord desires for Christians to get back in the Bible, get back to what truth is, truth has fallen in the streets, and the Lord is looking for somebody to come and pick it back up again. Read the book of Ezekiel. Truth has fallen in the streets. We're in a sad state today where I took a walk the other day and there's two women holding hands walking, not just two women, two little girls, probably teenagers. And I'm thinking, Lord, where are we at? Where are we at, God? Our young people today. You see, there's precedence in the scriptures of the Lord giving a nation a leader that it desires. I'll say that again. There's precedent in the scriptures for the Lord giving a nation a leader that it desires, not him. And the Lord almost gets to a point saying, this is what you want? This is what you want? You really want this right here? I'm going to give it to you. And that's exactly what's going to happen, I believe, in the tribulation. God said, you love whore, you love blood, you love zombies, you love all this wickedness, you love all this sinfulness, I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be right. It's not going to be on a movie screen, it's going to be right in your face. God says you love horror films and these strange creatures that scare you out of a computer screen or on a movie set, and you love these horrific images. God says you love those things. I'm going to send you strong delusions that you'll believe a lie, and I'm going to not only just give it on, I'm going to give it to you in person. You see, God knows the heart. God sees the heart. And God will sometimes give us what we want, even though it's not best for us. What did the Bible say in Psalms? The Lord sent them to, I'm going to paraphrase it, sent them basically to desire his heart, but sent leanness into their soul. God gave them the lust of their heart. They got what they wanted, but they also got leanness in their soul. There's precedent in the Bible of God setting up a leader that a nation desires. You see, the Lord did this with his own chosen people. They no longer wanted the Lord to be their king. Rather, they wanted a king just like all the other nations around them. This king would do their bidding and their fighting, rather than them having a personal walk and accountability to God. Let the king do all our work so I can just skate and live my life the way I like it. And you know why a lot of people are upset? Because Biden's in office right now? Because it's upsetting their personal life. He's raising the taxes. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's doing this. Because it's affecting me personally. The gas prices are going up. Be thankful this morning that our homes aren't being bombed. Brother, we got a lot to be thankful for. We got a lot to be thankful for this morning. Now I'm going to put a little asterisk here. Do I like everything that's going on in my nation? Absolutely not. Am I grieved by everything that's going on in my nation? Absolutely. Do I like who's in the office of president? Absolutely not. I don't. But I know I'm supposed to pray for him. And he's in a position of authority. And I better be very careful what comes out this mouth towards that individual. Take your Bible, look at 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And look at verse number 5. 1 Samuel 8, verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter number 8 and verse number 5. You know what's wrong with the church today? It wants to be just like the world. The church today wants to be just like the world. Because it's the same attitude that the nation of Israel had in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 5. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5. Actually, start up verse 1. 1 Samuel 8, verse 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. And they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after filthy lucre. After lucre. And took bribes and perverted judgment. These are two young men that were raised by a godly man. And I believe Samuel did everything he was supposed to do for his sons. I can't completely explain this scripture here. But I know that God dealt with Eli about his sons, but the Lord doesn't seem to deal with Samuel about his. But his sons were crooked. They were raised in the church, for lack of better words. Yet they were raised in church as they grew up taking and being concerned about money. How many of our young people today, all they're concerned about is money? Well, how do you get to a point sometimes in churches where kids are the way they are? In some senses, because the kids put the emphasis that mom and dad put the emphasis on. You see, what might just be a hindrance to us as an adult or as a parent may be the downfall of our children. There's many a man who can't give up sports, and he can deal with it, and it, though it hinders his walk with God a little bit, it really doesn't mess him up too bad. But his son or daughter grows up underneath him, worships that sport, and it destroys their life. Brethren, we're responsible as parents, as responsible as those that look up to us and how we live and how we act. But anyways, Samuel's kids were messed up. His sons were messed up. Verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in the Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now look what they say. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. Look at verse 7 now. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. You know where a lot of problem in churches today? They don't want somebody reigning over them. They don't want somebody in a position of authority. Whoever your pastor may be, if God, something happened to me and something happened, you must submit yourself under the authority of a pastor. If it's not here, find out where it's at. Find it. God establishes authority. And the nation of Israel did not want to submit to the authority of God. The Lord, out of the Lord's own mouth, said, they do not want me to reign over them. They do not want me to be their authority. They don't want me to be their God. They don't want me telling them what they do. They want a king just like all the other nations so that they can just live the way they want to live without any consequences from the king. Brethren, God might even put us in positions sometimes to submit to authority that we absolutely despise. Yet God still desires for us to submit to that authority. This thing and matter of authority with God is very, very, very... Actually, I think it's one of the top three most important subjects in the Bible. The subject of authority. There needs to be authority in the home. Dads need to be authority in a home. Mom needs to be an authority in a home. Where a child and a young baby first learns about authority ought to be from its mom and dad. That's one of the problems with our nation today, because kids have been sent off from the time they're newborns to nurseries and to day schools and all that, and they're just passed around like hot potatoes, and they never learn authority that is supposed to be established in the home. And you wonder why we got the mess we got today, because we got a generation that will not submit to no authority. None. Who are you to tell me what to do? Get out of my face. Or like this right here, I ain't got to listen to you. You cut me off in traffic. There is a total disrespect and lack for authority in today, but it started in the homes 60, 70, 80 years ago, and in the public school system and all that other stuff. We're reaping what we're sowing, what we've sown right now. To where you can have schools that, I said on Wednesday night, you can have schools today in this area putting litter boxes in the classrooms because a child wants to identify as a cat. And you know where it started? In a church. That's where it started. The church dropped the ball. The church dropped the ball 100-some years ago. Started with Moody a little bit. I got some respect for Moody, but it started with him and Charles Finney when they started making salvation a business transaction. Brethren, I'm here to tell you this morning, you can't save nobody. So put a quota on someone in your Bible Institute, say, by next week, I want you to have 10 people saved. You can't do that. And so you know what students start to do? They start taking shortcuts so they can please their professor and say, or not feel bad in front of the rest of their classmates like they're letting God down. Well, I got 10 saved too, so they start short-circuiting salvation. And I think that's one of the reasons we got our mess today. Just pray this prayer, you're in, good to go, you love God, yeah, all right, you want, yeah, boom, we're good. Well, I want now to put that on my belt. Go back in, and I got 10 saved this week. Brethren, I'm going to give you what I'm talking about this morning. There's a huge independent Baptist group That's a ministry. They have a ministry. It's not a church. It's a ministry. Huge. If I say the name, most of you would know who I'm talking about. And they tried to come into my facility down there in Charleston, South Carolina, in Columbia, South Carolina, because they had a huge ministry to those in prisons and jails. Some very good men in that ministry, but then some very men I couldn't stand. And so they came in one time, and they got in the pod with 20 or 30 of my kids that I know inside and out because I spend every day with them, and I talk with them, and I'm there with them. Some of them I've known for years because they've been in and out of the system. And after they get done with their little service, good service, all right, y'all now bow your heads. How many of y'all want to get saved? Raise your hand. Of course, almost every kid in there put their hand up. I don't think any didn't put their hand up. All right, bow your head. Well, just repeat this prayer after me. They repeat the prayer. All right, put your heads up. Y'all are saved now. You're going to heaven. Ain't that great? Amen. Where's the pizza? Brother, I'm talking about, I've seen it with my own eyes. And 2 minutes after they're out that gate, those same kids are causing a riot and beating the snot out of an officer. And they're going back and putting in their prayer letter, they just had 25 saved at Coastal Evaluation Center in Charleston, South Carolina. The next time they came in, I said, you don't do that. I said, don't do it. Do not lead any of these kids in a prayer. You know what they did? They still tried to do it. Still came back with their little score sheet cards with the names written down of everybody that got saved. They had almost 85% of the kids in that juvenile center. I've had other groups come in, perform a service, bow the heads, raise your hand. One of the kids I've known for years, raise his hand. Prayed the prayer, got saved, right? The next week I'm doing a Bible study with him. He looks at me and goes, chap, I don't even believe in God. You hear me? He looked at me and said, I don't even believe in God. Yet the previous week, he claimed to have gotten saved. We made it a business transaction instead of a transaction between an individual and the Holy Ghost of God. And we wonder why we're in a mess today. It used to be that Christians would spend hours praying for lost loved ones. It used to be where Christians would shed tears for those caught up in sin. You're doing good today to get Christians to come to church. Read about Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Go home, find it, and read his sermon that he wrote out, and the sermon that he merely read what was written on the paper. And God got so in that service that people thought they were getting ready to fall into the pits of hell. That man had power with God. We've lost our power. We've got our religion, but we've lost our power. Because we put things before God and we've short-circuited him. We're just like Israel. America today is just like Israel. Are Americans God's chosen people? No, we're not. We're not God's chosen people. That's just Bible. God's chosen people are the Jewish people over there in a nation called Israel right now. Those are God's chosen people. But I think some American Christians today think America is God's chosen nation. America is not God's chosen nation. God's blessed us a country, but I believe the reason we're living on God's blessings, we're living on the blessings of those that went before us back in the 1600s and 1700s and 1800s who had a heart for God. Men like Hudson Taylor, women like Amy Carmichael, George Whitfield who would come over here and preach down there in Georgia, John Wesley who would come over here and preach through our countrysides. We're missing it today, brethren. We're missing it today, yet we think we're all right with God. I'm afraid we've been deluded, myself included. You see, there's precedence in the Bible for God to set up a leader that the nation desires. Sometimes these leaders are the basest of men, and some, like we looked at Sunday in the Sunday school hour, there are even some individuals that the Lord will set up that he knows are traitors. God, the Lord, knew Jesus Christ, when he chose those apostles, I'm not going to look at it this morning because we looked at it at Sunday school. Jesus Christ chose Judas and he was a traitor. He not only was he a traitor, he was also a thief. And the Lord Jesus Christ chose him to be an apostle. Luke chapter 6. So take your Bible, look at Daniel chapter number 4. Daniel chapter 4. I'm getting to a point this morning, brethren. I'm getting to a point. Please stick with me. Please stick with me. I'm not up here this morning on a power trip. I'm not up here on a power trip, but I'm here to try to help as a pastor for us to have a right view on authority and the authorities that God sets up, and that our mouths may not speak against these authorities because we're saying something we don't even realize what we're saying. Daniel chapter 4, and look at verse number 17. Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 17. Daniel 4:17, the scripture says, this matter is by the decree of the watchers. Now I'm going to stop right there for a moment. I don't think that these watchers have ceased to exist. I think they still exist. And these watchers are holy ones there in heaven. This matter is by the decree of who? The watchers. And the demand by the word of the holy ones. Look what their decree and demand is. To the intent that the living, which is us, may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Who sets up over the nations the basest of men? Not Satan. That's not a little G-O-D, that is a big G-O-D, that is God in heaven by the decree of the watchers and the holy ones. Why would God set up over the nations or a nation the basest of men to the intent that the subjects of that nation might realize that God reigns in heaven? Basically, God's going to give you what you want, so you hopefully see that he's the one with whom we have to do. Now, the word base means this, the basest of men. It means mean, which means lowly. The basest of men means vile. The basest of men can mean worthless. The basest of men can mean contemptible or despicable, worthy of little or no regard. God will set up someone in a position of authority, and us as men and women can look at them and say they're vile, they're wicked, they're worthy of no regard, but we better be careful that we don't speak against it. We might be right with what we see. We might be right in the truth that we acknowledge that is there, but we better not speak against it. It's not our place. I said this before in this church. Michael wouldn't even bring a railing accusation against Satan. And he's an angel with position and authority and is in the presence of God. And he won't even bring a railing accusation against someone that deserves to bring a railing accusation against them, Satan. Who are we then to bring a railing accusation against the President of the United States? You better be careful. You better be careful. You better be careful of signs that you put up that are inferring something. And you know what I'm talking about, these signs they put up about the president, but it's saying something different. That's saying something against authority. And you better be careful. I'm telling you, you better be careful how you speak about authority. It's not our place. If we don't like the authority, let us do what God's given us the ability to do. And in this country, we have the ability to vote. Well, the election was stolen. That's God's business. Do what you can do and leave the rest in your God's hands. He knows what's going on. You see, some may be trusting in the president more than they're supposed to be trusting in God. My trust is not in the president. My trust is in my Savior. Brethren, what would you say to someone in a communist nation? You see, as Americans, we've lost it. We're prideful, we're arrogant, and we're lifted up because we think America will never be and shouldn't be ever touched. Brethren, I'm surprised God ain't touched us yet. I'm surprised that brethren, every morning that I wake up, I'm amazed at God's long-suffering for this country right here. And you know where I get the precedence? Look at how God dealt with the nation of Israel, His own chosen people. God judged His own chosen people. God made them captives and subjects to other nations because they chose to follow their own ways rather than the God that had delivered them. And I'm afraid today most Christians are choosing their own ways rather than the God that delivered them, and it's leading them down into a path of bondage. Bondage of strife, bondage of pride, bondage of hardness, bondage of no love or charity or grace, a bondage of just being stone cold to those that are around them. But I love my country. Brethren, may God help us to get back to the Bible. May God help us to get back to the Bible. The word traitor means one who violates his allegiance and betrays his country. And I believe we got plenty of them in office right now. And not just right now, but also back when John F. Kennedy was president. Do you realize that this isn't the first election that was stolen? Do you realize in 1940-45, when FDR was seeking a fourth re-election, that they were trying to steal the ballots back then with the soldiers that were overseas, over 11 million soldiers, and I think only 8,000 of them got the vote? Brethren, corruption is nothing new. Well, the election got stolen. Well, it's been messed up since 1900, sir. Don't let the devil distract you and divert you from what is important, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is that we are a light and testimony in a perverse and crooked nation and where we dwell. Read Philippians. There was crooked and perverse nations back when Paul wrote the gospel or the epistles. Why do we expect anything different as Americans now in 2022? Brethren, these things have been going on since Adam and Eve. What happened there with Adam and Eve? Cain didn't like his brother how he was. He rose up and it came to pass. He slew him in the field. Brethren, sin has corrupted this world. And the answer for this world is Jesus Christ. Brethren, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Right? That's what the Bible says. Whose righteousness? Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says that Jesus Christ was made unto us righteousness. You want to exalt this nation? You want America to get back where it needs to be? Exalt Jesus Christ through your life. And this nation may have a potential to get back to what maybe it used to be. But until the church gets back to Jesus Christ, I'm afraid this nation will never get back to the way we would like it to be. And that would be a godly nation. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? Righteousness exalteth a nation. Well, who is righteousness? Jesus Christ. He is righteousness. And not only is He righteousness, but if you're saved, you are now the righteousness of God in Him. You know what will help this nation? Christians that will sell out and live for Jesus Christ. That will change a nation. Not attending some political rally. Attending some political rally will do absolutely nothing. Think about this for a moment. By you going to a political rally, you are not changing some Democrat's mind of how they're voting. It ain't happening. People are pretty much know where they're going and what side of the fence they fall on. And I'm sad to say, brethren, to me, there's not much difference between Republican and Democrat anyway. Oh, I know some people will hate me for that. How dare you say that? You don't know your government. Brethren, please, you don't know your government. You know how many Masons are in office right now? Brethren, we can't even clean up the government of Allentown. We can't even clean up the CIA. What about the ATF? What about the IRS? Do we not think there's corruption in the IRS? Oh, there's plenty of corruption in the IRS. Brethren, have you ever seen a ball of yarn and a big one, and it's just so intertwined with each other, and it would take years to get it totally undone? That's the United States of America at this point. So I guess as your pastor, I'm trying to get our focus off of trying to change this country and always being worried about something with politics and start worried about the Bible and living for Jesus Christ and the souls of men. That's my theme this morning. Let's get away from the politics and let's get back to the book. Let's get back to being ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Let's get back to praying. Let's get back to fasting. Let's get back to loving God and Jesus and walking with Him. That's my desire as a pastor. Do I love my country? Yes. Do I pray for my country? Yes. But I'm not foolish enough to think that simply by getting somebody else in office that we're going to go back to happy land. It's not happening, brethren. It is not happening because the Bible says it's not going to happen. The United States of America is found nowhere in Scripture. The title of this message, and I'm going to continue on with it tonight. The title of this message is to learn, to leave, and to love. We've looked at here, first of all, in just a few scriptures this morning, the word learn. And I desire for you to learn about the authority and how God looks at authority in the Bible. And for someone to say that God would never set up someone wicked over this country is not reading their Bible. There is precedent in the scripture of God giving a nation whom He desires for them to have. And then God using that individual for His purposes and His ways. Before we close, I want to look at one part here about the next word, and that's leave. Learn and then leave. Now that we've established that the Lord establishes and sets individuals in positions of authority, let us see what our duty is then as citizens and residents of our respective countries and nations. What is now our responsibility as a citizen of the United States of America? I'll tell you the first one, the very first thing I think is our responsibilities now as a citizen of this country. And I love my country. I love my country. But my job now as number one, being a saved individual, my job as a citizen of the United States is this. Take your Bible, look over at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 1. What am I to leave? I'm to leave speaking against authority and follow what Paul tells Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. All right, Bible says here, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Look what Paul tells this young preacher, this young pastor who God has Paul send out. He's a young man in the God. He's a young man, a young saved individual, and this is what Paul tells him as an elder. Paul says to him in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that, look what he says, first thing, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I could never thank God for that man and that prayer. You better be careful. I know one thing I can thank Him for, that He's not putting me to death because I got a King James Bible. That I can go to a grocery store today and buy quite a bit of different foods that I like. I'm thankful this morning for our president and that he hasn't established yet or set up martial law. I'm thankful for my president this morning that he hasn't put out a mandate saying that I can't hold up a scripture sign on a street corner. I'm thankful for my president this morning that my gas prices are only $4.20 this morning. I'm thankful this morning for my president that he's allowed ships and our ports to be open to bring in supplies and things that I need to live my daily life. Brethren, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. But you see, when we stop giving thanks is when we become hard. Y'all ever read the story about Corrie Ten Boom? Anybody know who I'm talking about with Corrie Ten Boom? There in a Nazi concentration camp. You know, they were hiding Jews. Her daddy was a saved man, and they were hiding Jews. I believe it was in Holland. Was that correct, in Holland? Somewhere over there in Europe, they were hiding Jews. Her daddy had a little watch store, and they would hide Jews, Corrie and her sister. And they got found out. They got put in a concentration camp, but they kept the right attitudes. God allowed them to smuggle a little Bible in there so that they could do Bible studies with some of those women in that concentration camp who had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brethren, let us get back to the Bible. Let us get back to the Bible. Let us get back to the Bible. Why would God allow such a thing? Maybe for you to be a witness to someone that's in prison. What's more important? Your health, your physical health, or the soul of a man or a woman. And they got to take that little Bible, and somehow God kept it hidden from those officers, and they were able to go back there at night and do little Bible studies with those women in that horrible situation they were in those concentration camps. And some of the women that may have heard the gospel if they lived out there the good life, but now that everything's gone bad, God's put them in an opportunity to where they can learn about their soul and what Jesus Christ did to save their soul. They might have never listened on the outside of the street because thing was always good, but now that it's really bad, they're willing to listen. Do you hear, do you see this morning, brethren, these principles that it might need to get bad so that some people might get saved? It always stays good. They're never going to see their need of a Savior. We miss it. We think just because something goes bad that God's not, the devil's all in it. It may be God doing it because he wants you to get in a position to be able to be in the same predicament. But we miss it. We get a flat tire and we complain, but God might be wanting us to witness to the tow truck driver who's coming to help us. And God set that appointment up. But we miss it because we're mad because we got a flat tire and we miss the opportunity to witness to that individual. Do you see these principles? So why would God let the Nazis find out about Corrie Ten Boom and the good work they're doing in saving Jewish lives? Why would God let them be found out so that they can now start doing Bible studies in a concentration camp? And Corrie one day, God bless her sister. What was her sister's name? Betsy. Corrie started complaining to Betsy, if God loves us so much, why does he make us have all these lice and these maggots and all this around us? And Betsy said, we need to thank God for these lice and these maggots. Corrie got mad at her. How can I thank God for these lice and these maggots? How could I serve a God? How can you be thankful over lice and maggots? Later on, she found out about a week later that the only reason the officers didn't go back there and break up their Bible studies was because of the lice and the maggots. Glory to God. But we would yell and complain about the lice and the maggots. And that's what's helping to get somebody to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I can never thank God for that. Has Joe Biden put us in concentration camps yet? No. Do we still have freedom? Yes. That's something to be thankful for. But Christians today are so hard, I can never thank God for a man like that. Yeah, that's why you're so bitter. And that's why nobody ever listened to you, because you're angry, you're mad, you're bitter, and your heart is hard. Because you're not thankful for what you got. Brethren, I'm thankful for my toilet. I'm thankful I got a toilet that flushes. I thank God this morning I got one more pair. I got more than one pair of shoes. I thank God this morning I got pants to wear. I thank God this morning I got a wife that loves me. I thank God this morning I got family. I thank God this morning that I got a church that I know that loves me. I thank God this morning I got His Word and I can trust it and rest upon it. I thank God this morning, listen, I can go to my refrigerator and get something to eat. I thank God that I have a vehicle that I can drive in. I thank God this morning I can walk around. I thank God this morning I can see. I thank God this morning I can hear. I thank God this morning I can use my voice to worship Him. There's so much to be thankful for, yet we complain over the littlest things, and that's all we do. God help us this morning. God help us. We're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to give an account. Paul says here, I exhort, this is Bible, brethren, this is Bible, this is Bible. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, the very first thing that Paul wants Timothy to do, he says that all supplications, you know what supplication means? It means earnest request. Supplication means an earnest request. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Why? That we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Look at verse number 4, please. Who will have what? All, A-double-L, men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Brethren, I'm not Calvinist this morning, but I know this morning by that scripture verse right there that God desires for all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth, even to include Joseph Biden, even Nancy Pelosi, even Chuck Schumer, and all the other ones that we hate. God help us. We're going against scripture, brethren. It says all men. Not just who you think you should intercede for. Not just who you think you should pray for. Not just who you think you should be thankful for. God says through Paul and the power of the Holy Spirit, I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Whether you understand it or not, God says give thanks. You want power? You want power? Let's try this week to just do verses 1 through 5, or 4 here. This week, let's just try to do verses 1 through 4. Let's just try to do verses 1 through 4. And if you got a struggle with it, ask God to help you with that struggle. Now, don't walk out here this morning saying, well, Pastor Chris at Ray Street Baptist Church, he just loves Joseph Biden and is so glad that he's in office. No, I'm trying to do what my Bible says to do. I don't agree with everything he's doing in office. I don't agree probably with 99% of what's going on in the office and the Supreme Court and the legislative branch. But I know what the Bible says that I'm supposed to do as a citizen of another country. We're citizens of another country if you're saved. Or are you not? Or are you not? Do you put more emphasis on that flag than the Bible? And I love my flag. Listen, if all of a sudden that national anthem play, yes. My brother Les Pirelli and those Marines walking through their utmost respect. I would get down and shine their shoes. That's how much I respect those men. I respect the men and women that served in the military. Respect. Absolute respect. I said last week, there is nothing sharper than a United States Marine man in dress uniform. There is nothing like it, in my opinion. Nothing like it. No nation touches the United States Marine Corps in the way it looks. But a United States Marine didn't die for my soul. The Marine Corps doesn't give me eternal life. The Marine Corps didn't die on a cross and shed its blood for my sin. Do you see? So I'm not unpatriotic. Actually, I believe the more we live for God, the more patriotic we are. You see, the way up is down, and the way down is up. You start exalting the nation above God, you're actually heading the wrong direction. You exalt God before your nation, and you bring your nation up. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And right now, we are a nation of sin because we're not exalting God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your goodness, dear God. Lord, I want to thank you this morning, dear God, for my... Lord, God, I'm thankful to be a U.S. citizen. And Lord, I believe you know my heart. Lord, I love my country, dear God. I love my country. But Lord, I know this, dear God, I love you more. And Lord, I pray you'd help us as Christians to love Jesus Christ, your Son, that died on that cross for our sins. Because Lord, I believe we can't love our nation until we love the Son like we ought to. Lord, we can't love souls until we love you like we ought to, dear God. Lord, we can't make a difference in our community, Lord, spiritually, until we love you like we ought to, dear Lord. God, help us to get back to the basics. Lord, help us to get back to the Bible. Lord, help us to get back to a love and a fellowship with Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, help us to get back to have charity. Lord, help us to get back to show love. Lord, help us to get back to where we have the joy of our salvation, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning that there's some individuals here this morning that are saved and haven't had joy in a long time. Lord, I pray you'd bring it across their path, dear God. Lord, they rejoice in the joy of their salvation, Lord. Lord, thank you, dear God, this morning, Lord, that I'm not going to hell. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me, dear God, from my sin. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to live in this great country, dear God. The opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear of repercussion or persecution, dear God. Thank you for this nation. But Lord, help me to be a good citizen, Lord. Help me to put the emphasis where you put the emphasis. And Lord, help me to pray for my leaders. God, I do pray for Joseph Biden this morning, Lord. Lord, if that man dies, Lord, he's going to spend eternity in hell. And Lord, I pray somehow, some way, Lord, I know he's lifted up with pride. Lord, I know he's an enemy to this country, dear God, but if there's some way, some scripture, something he's read or heard about the gospel, Lord, I pray you'd bring conviction upon him, dear God, and he'd see his need of salvation, and Lord, that he'd humble himself like Manasseh humbled himself. God, help our country, Lord. I pray for those in authority. Lord, I pray for our Supreme Court. God, I pray, Lord, if there's any in there, Lord, that's heard truth, dear God, that knows the gospel, Lord, I pray they see their need of a Savior. Lord, I pray they'd recognize their sin. And Lord, I pray that they cry out to you this morning for salvation. Lord, make them miserable. Lord, if they're lost, make them miserable. Bring conviction upon them, dear God. Lord, help those in the House and the Senate, dear God, our leaders, not here just in Pennsylvania, but nationwide, dear God. Lord, help those that are saved, dear God, to be a light and example and to stand for truth. And those that aren't, Lord, I pray you'd work upon their hearts about their souls. Lord, I pray this evening or this morning, Lord, for the lieutenant governor down there in North Carolina, Lord. Lord, he's standing for truth, dear God, and I pray you'd encourage him. I pray you'd help him to stand for that truth, Lord, that he wouldn't back down and that he would live honorably and godly in the position you put him in. Lord, help our governor here, dear God. Help all those that are in authority, Lord. And help us as the citizens of the United States of America to live as citizens of a heavenly country. Lord, help us to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Lord, holding forth the word of life, the word of truth, dear God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, now I pray you'd help us, Lord, to stay close to you in these last days that we're living in. And we ask these things now in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Brother, if you take a hymn book, I'd like to close with a hymn this morning. Ellie, if you come up here and play this for me, I'd like to close with a hymn. Hymn, page 223. Page number 223. If you're able to stand with me this morning, I'd like to close with this hymn here, page 223.
Dismiss us with your blessing and give us safety to travel on our way home and safety tonight. We pray these things in your precious Son and our Savior's name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.